News Radio 1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to America's longest running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show at 222-1180, star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers, or the One Communications line at 1-800-295-1180. Now alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on 50,000-watt 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips in the PC. It is Sunday, the 29th of June, Anno Domini 2008, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Scott Morrison.
Hey. And at 8 minutes after the hour, it is Soundbites. We're going to make a couple of little changes this week, I think.
Change is good.
The first change, of course, is Dave Enright has his brand new laptop, yes, which he's apparently not using.
Yeah, I'm getting it up.
Okay.
Don't touch it.
I'm not going anywhere near it. Right. And I think we're actually going to start this week talking about the poll, because what I'd love to have happen is for people to call in and talk about the poll every week. I'm sure you all have opinions about it besides what you put in the system, but the fact is that you don't really get to talk to us about it, because by the time we do the poll, most of you are already on the line with computer questions. So we're going to start with a poll that comes from this story this week. Hi, I'm Nick Francesco. Nearly 80% of
business. Don't do that again, you know.
Don't try. We're professionals. That's right. I would have to start with "Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America." Nearly 80% of businesses have Macs in house. Nearly double the percentage that said they had users running Mac OS X 2 years ago, according to a research firm, the Yankee Group Research Inc. Then we were talking about onesies and twosies, said Laura DiDio, a research fellow at the Yankee Group, who conducted a survey of more than 700 senior IT administrators and C-level executives. I actually responded to that particular poll. Now, a number of actual users is very significant. A number of the businesses said they had 50 or 100 or even several thousand Macs deployed. In early 2006, when DiDio last polled corporate IT professionals on Mac deployment, 47% that said that they had Apple Inc. hardware in their environments. DiDio was impressed with the growth of Macs in business, considering that Apple Inc. has put little to no official effort into that part of the market. This isn't a tidal wave, but it's certainly a sustained trend, she said. Apple has a beachhead in business, where it once had just 1% to 2% market share in corporate. Now they're up to 8% to 10%. More than a quarter of the firms surveyed. Oh, wait. Among the reasons businesses cited for adopting Macs, the most surprising was the ability to virtualize other operating systems, primarily Windows, on Mac hardware. More than a quarter of the firm surveyed, 28%, said they are running Windows in a virtual machine on the Macs they have. Slightly fewer, 22%, confirmed that their Macs are set up to boot either Windows or Mac OS X using the latter's built-in dual boot utility, Bootcamp. So this week's poll question, if I can find it, here it is does your company use Macs? And the choices, of course, are yes, no, I'm self-employed, you insensitive clod. Work? What is this work you speak of? And it's early days, of course, so far, so we have well fewer than 100 people who have answered the poll so far. In fact, the number is 76. That's the spirit. And when you're done with the poll, by the way, I know you want to call in and chat, and that's good, but you can also leave an opinion. If you look at the little yellow box underneath the poll, you will see, give us your opinion. Click on that. It'll take you to my website, asknick.com.
That's asknick.com. Yes, it is. Asknick.com.
All righty. We have to do a little training of Scott at the moment.
There
we
go.
I got it eventually.
You got there, and that's really what counts.
We'll fix it in post.
Exactly. And then you can fool around on my website. I do a newsletter and forums and all that other good stuff. And you can search for all the thousands of pieces of information I have up on my website. It's only $15 a year, so I have no idea why you're not doing it. And then, of course, come back to the Soundbites website, and we'll do all kinds of cool things. So, Steve, from the Macintosh perspective, how exactly do you feel about the fact that so many Macs are being sold to run Windows?
We find it quite ironic, is people are so fed up with Windows, the crashing all the time, you know, the viruses and the spyware, that's one of the big reasons we're seeing for switching to Mac, because you're getting a more stable environment in many cases. And Apple has always been known for using higher quality hardware than cheap PC. You know, if you want cheap, go for PC. If you want, you know, good, you can go for Mac.
Well, and that's what they're really talking right about. It's not that they're running Windows specifically, you know,
or exclusively. That would be silly a Mac for it to exclusively.
But it wouldn't
run
necessarily. A lot of people don't know about a Mac.
Right.
You know, they don't want to learn about a Mac. They just want to get their job done. And the reason they're using Macs is because the hardware is better.
Right. And then you can run Windows in virtualization. And if anything goes wrong with it, you just delete it and start over. And it's a whole lot easier than doing that on your real PC.
Right. Right. And from the perspective of an IT person, of a systems administrator, I love the idea of being able to replace.
Right. You can replace 3-4 computers with this one computer. You can run Mac, you can run Windows, you can run Unix, you can run Linux, you can virtualize other things.
Right. And addition. I also like the ability to replace an image that may in fact be corrupted in some way with a virus or whatever, just wipe it out.
You never know where they hide. Yeah.
Right. Right. All right. We've got time for some phone calls. People are already waiting on the line. Our first caller is Victor. In Irondequoit, New York. Welcome, Victor. What's your question?
Good morning, guys. When I click on File, Send, Link, before...
In what application?
Yeah.
Firefox.
Two or three?
I just did three last night. And it used to go to my IncrediMail. Now, what happens when I click on that, it goes to the Gmail welcome page.
What may have happened is that since you've upgraded to Firefox 3, your mail preference in Firefox 3 is set to Gmail. So in the Firefox preferences, there should be a setting for what mail program do you want to use.
So how do I get to that?
In the Firefox preferences.
Okay, how do I get to that?
There's a command called preferences in Firefox.
Yeah, what you do is, I think under Windows it's under tools.
It may be options on
Windows,
too.
But on a lot of other machines it's under edit. And you pull that tab down and you will find preferences. And one of the little icons that comes up across the top is applications. And one of the choices, you have two columns, content type and action. Under content type, find mail to, and under action, you will probably at that point see Gmail. But if you click on Gmail, you get a drop-down list and you can choose something else.
Okay. All righty, I'll find that someplace.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
That's interesting that Firefox 3, presumably it worked in Firefox 2, and Firefox 3 didn't bring that preference over.
Well, there's also the issue right now.
In Firefox 2, it used the system default. In Firefox 3, it has its own default.
Its own.
Yeah, and one of the other things, too, is folks are noticing with WHAM that the with version 3, you know, trying to see the live cam and all that just isn't working. So they've got to do some updating and hearing it on the stream. I had to go back to a version 2 down the shop because we couldn't hear the streaming. Supposedly the one patch 4 is supposed to work, but it hasn't yet. I don't know if there's still the IE patch has to be corrected or whatever. Even though it says it works with 3, it doesn't.
Right. All right. Our next caller, D from Rochester, New York. Welcome, D. What's your question?
Oh, hello. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
All right. I have Thunderbird 2.0 and ABG 8.0.
Right.
And ABG, I believe, is preventing Thunderbird from connecting to my POPS 3 server, which is FrontierNet. The message is, could not connect to server POP 3 FrontierNet.net. The connection was refused.
Now, you're using ABG 8.0?
That message usually means either the username or the password is incorrect. That message generally comes from Thunderbird saying that they got an actual answer back from Frontier, and the answer was, you've been refused.
Okay, so I'm going to reset my password and...
Try logging into Frontier Webmail, or webmail.frontiernet.net, and make sure the username and password you're using is working.
Oh, yeah, yes, I've done that. That does work.
And you're sure you've typed it all incorrectly?
That's correct, yes.
Hmm. And sometimes deleting it.
If you turn off...
No,
if you delete it and retype it in Thunderbird, Or as Nick was about to say, turn off AVG temporarily.
Right. Turn off AVG and see if you can connect. That'll tell you whether or not.
Okay, yeah, I have done that, and I did connect.
Do you have the AVG firewall or just AVG antivirus?
AVG antivirus.
So it should scan the message and before you send it. It shouldn't change anything. Because if you had the AVG firewall, it could be preventing you from accessing if you accidentally put your mail program as a prevented program. But the antivirus shouldn't.
Yeah, it worked with AVG 7.5, the previous AVG before I upgraded. And when I upgraded, I started getting these problems.
All right, listen. Go to the AVG icon in the tray, the little ball, the little blue ball.
Yeah.
Double-click on that, and you'll see the control center. There's an email scanner block.
Uh-huh.
In the control center, AVG control center and email scanner, I think it's just called.
Yeah, and it says active.
Okay, for a POP3 server, click on the button properties, click on the tab servers, click add, and there's a tree menu on the left side. Choose server type and choose POP3 protocol for receiving email messages. And then on the left side again, choose connection. And then there's a checkbox that says fixed host, and then put in the FrontierNet mail host that you've been using.
Okay, I want to be,
I think the local port has to be 5200, I think.
Even though POP is 110?
No, you're right, it's got to be 110.
110, yeah.
This apparently is a fairly common problem. We're finding these hits all over the internet.
Right.
We'll post a couple of links on things you can try.
Okay.
All righty.
All right.
You can try turning off that email scanner and leaving the rest of AVG enabled temporarily until we figure out exactly what it is.
Yeah, but, I can.
Yeah, but it does seem to be a an issue.
Okay. All right. So I'm not by myself. I thought I might have accidentally turned something off. Okay.
All righty.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. All right, we're going to take a break. A fairly quick break. It is time for the deep and important financial dramas that we call commercials. Listen very carefully to each and every one of them. They have been lovingly crafted to bring your attention toward their products. So we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. I don't know where I thought I was going with any of that. With Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Scott Morrison, and there's somebody else in the room who apparently prefers to remain nameless. Me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you. We've already done the poll. Listen, when we come back, if you have an opinion on the poll on using Macs in work, or if you have an anecdote about using Macs at your workplace or not being allowed to use Macs at your workplace, which is probably a lot more likely, feel free to call in and we will commiserate together and figure out how we can sneak one in under a PC case. It's 21 minutes after the hour. We're Sound Bites. And we'll be right back on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Reich.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Scott Morrison, but don't worry about me.
No. Why would we? You're only the most important guy here. If you walk away, we got nothing. It's 25 minutes after the hour, and you are listening to Sound Bites.
And if you were watching the camera that second, that was quite an amusing thing.
Yeah, it really was. Well, let's see if it worked.
Friday was Bill Gates' last day in the office as a regular employee of the company he co-founded in 1975. It is true. It is the end of an era. Bill Gates has bowed out mostly at Microsoft, but as non-executive chairman and someone who is deeply married to Microsoft, Gates is not disappearing from the company. The transition has been well orchestrated, and he will still spend about 20% of his time working on Microsoft issues such as the next generation office, natural interfaces, and search. And he will still obsess and strategize about how to defeat Google. In many ways, Gates is very much the same as when he founded Microsoft. His tenacity, intellectual intensity, passion for technology, and competitiveness have remained intact. Now he will be applying those character traits more fully to eradicating polio, malaria, AIDS, and other diseases at the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And for that, he gets all the credit in the world. In an interview last week, Tom Brokaw of NBC asked Gates if he had an iPod. He responded no and added, the Zune is a better way to carry around your music. Bill Gates, vintage competitiveness. Bill Gates' farewell speech to Microsoft reminded employees that the company knows how to come from behind as well as to lead. In some cases, those are the ones that bond you the most, Gates said, recalling some of the tougher times. You know, when Microsoft decides to attack you or when some legal ruling isn't quite right and you have to do a press conference afterward. Gates, whose voice cracked at times, thanked Microsoft
employees. Hasn't been doing that all along?
Yeah, I don't know why that's even in this thing. Thanked Microsoft employees for all their dedication as he marked his final day as a full-time Microsoft employee. You've made it so much fun for me, Gates said. Well, there won't be a day in my life that I'm not thinking about Microsoft and the great things that it's doing. So, farewell, Mr. Gates. We'll see what the new era brings as we attempt to move on from Mr. Gates.
And that brings up an interesting question. Do you think Ballmer can run the show? He's been nuts so far. Now he's really in charge?
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
The inmates are now officially running the asylum. Our next caller is Linda from Greece, New York. Welcome, Linda. What's your question?
Hi, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Steve, I got two quick questions and I'll hang up. I've got a Mac laptop that's connected to my PC, you know, to the router and all that. Is that protected if I want to make transactions like buy something for a Mac on my laptop? Is that secure?
Just about as secure as any other connection, as long as you get that little padlock icon in the in your browser to show that you're on a secure socket.
Okay, because I know laptops, you're not supposed to do any transactions of any kind.
Well, the next step is, right, are you wired or are you wireless?
I'm wireless.
Do you have encryption on your wireless?
Yes, he put it in with the password.
Right, that's right. She called a couple of weeks ago and forgot the password.
Right.
Yeah, so your wireless is encrypted. But even if the wireless itself wasn't encrypted, when you go to that website, it's encrypted on your computer. So it's encrypted data on an unencrypted signal. So it's pretty safe anyway. It's just anything else you type would be visible in the clear on that unprotected wireless.
Okay.
And people could try breaking into your computer on an unprotected wireless.
Only if they're within range.
But that's generally not, none of that is generally true in your own home.
Right.
Okay.
It's the big issue is if you live in an apartment building and people are in other apartments can sniff your network. In fact, it's a real fun in an apartment building to look at your wireless networks available and see how many people in other apartments have open wireless configs. So you could sniff into their network if you wanted to. So that's a big thing for everybody. You know, apologies to people who leech off free internet, but it's dangerous to leave your internet unsecured.
Okay, another thing. I have an iPod ripper for my PC. I want to take DVDs and convert them to my iPod on the Mac. Is there a software you would recommend?
Yeah, the same one for Windows. It's called Handbrake.
Handbrake?
Yep.
Okay, because I was using Cucasoft and all that. But I saw somebody, and I thought I'd ask you guys what you recommended.
Well, there you are. Handbrake apparently is it.
Yep.
Okay, so that'll transfer my DVDs to my iPad.
Yeah, while you're legally purchased DVDs onto your iTunes, and then iTunes will sync it to the iPod.
Right.
And actually, the motion picture industry still considers that stealing. You're supposed to buy a second copy in digital format.
I don't think so.
Well, it is kind of neat now.
That is a choice you make between you and your conscience. We certainly have no opinion on it other than the fact that it's illegal. Yeah.
A lot of commercial movies now are coming with a second disc, and they call it a digital download.
Yeah.
So when you buy the movie for your television, you get a second copy for your computer, which is a neat way to do it.
Yeah.
I love Second Life. I tried it yesterday. I think that is great.
I'm glad you're enjoying it. Dave's in it now.
Yep.
Mostly kind of just standing there. But
what is the name of our community?
If you search for Sound Bites with a dash.
Okay.
Sound Dash Bites, you'll find us. We are on Finger Lakes Island.
Well, we also have a link off of our webpage. If folks go to our webpage and there's a join us, what is it?
Join us in Sound Bites.
Well, you have your own laptop and you got to look over here because you're not doing
I'm multitasking
cheese and crackers.
Here.
It's called Join Us in Second Life. If you click on that and you've got the Second Life client installed,
I do.
It should open it up for you.
Okay. But you've got to be logged into Second Life. Because once you click on it, it'll say teleport. Then you switch over to your Second Life screen, and it offers you a teleport. You accept it. It teleports you right to the island.
Right.
Okay.
All righty.
Okay.
And For those of you who've been having trouble getting voice to work in Second Life, Dave's been handing out a note card in Second Life. I've created a web page on the Soundbites.
Great.
Thank you. On the Soundbites site, you can get the link is right on that front page just under Join Us in Second Life. And if you click on that page, it takes you to a page that has step-by-step instructions, including pictures of what you click at each step. It's worked for me every time. There are a couple of other steps that I never bothered to do because I didn't need them, and I hope none of you will either. There's always a next somewhere that I just never bothered to hit.
One of the other things that we should mention, and there's been a number of folks in the forum saying that they're having problems, you know, one, where do I get the software and, you know, this and that. Well, one, you have to go to the Second Life webpage, secondlife.com, download the software, and install that. When you're doing it, it's going to ask you to pick up a name. Now, some folks have been saying, well, it keeps rejecting me, because the particular name sequence that you're trying to select is already taken for that given last
right.
name.
You have to pick one of their last names. They give you a list, and it's a very long list.
But you also that a last name and first name combination cannot already exist in Second Life. So if I pick up, say, Dave, and I ask for Dubinsky again, it's going to say wrong. Can't use that
because somebody already else already has it, which is actually
if him. I took, you know, David, it probably would accept it.
Now you may remember this when you set up your email account. Who knows how many years ago? You pick an email address no one else was using.
Right, right.
Yes.
And that's the same way here. And in order to download Second Life, you go to Second Life, go all the way to the bottom, and in the gray section at the bottom is actually a series of links. It's another one of those places where they think it's so cool to not underline links, which means people don't know their links and won't click on them, morons. Not the people, the designers. And if you go down to that section of gray, the very left-hand column, fourth one down, is download Second Life. So you can download that and install it and set yourself up and all the other yada yadas and get yourself going in Second Life. This is not really essential right at the moment, but certainly at some point in the future, particularly when the bills are on Wham, we will be, we've mentioned this a number of times, we will be doing an hour of strictly web-only podcasting, broadcasting, whatever it's called. And then we will supplement that with an hour, at least, of answering people's questions in Second Life.
Without any commercials.
Certainly in Second Life there won't be any commercials. Although we may just, you know, find a sponsor and suddenly start spouting a jingle.
That would work.
Sung by us.
Sung by us, exactly, in four-part harmony. All right.
I'll sing solo. Solo, you can't hear me.
Yeah.
Which is a good thing in this case.
Can you sing Over the Hills and Far Away?
Yeah, all the time. far away.
So that's it. And maybe I'll put up a second thing on how to get on Second Life at some point. Probably not soon, anyway. All right. Yeah, we got time. Our next caller is Hal from Hilton, New York. Hi, Hal from Hilton.
Yes,
how are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
Good, thank you.
Okay. Well, I've experienced the BSOD three times this week, the dreaded BSOD. And I don't know what to do. I've had trouble since I downloaded that. And I don't know if that has anything to do with it.
Well, the easiest test is to uninstall it and see if your problems go away.
Go back to the old one? Because, I mean, I have redundancy on there. Between the AVG and the SpyBot, I got SpyBot running in the Stray all the time to check everything's coming in and going out.
Well, those are two different programs that check for two different things.
Right.
So you
SpyBot checks
those.
For spyware.
Right.
AVG checks for viruses.
Yeah.
So there's no redundancy there. They are two separate things.
Unless you also have the AVG anti-spyware.
Right.
Right.
That may be causing the problem. If you have both AVG antivirus and AVG anti-spyware running,
okay,
and you have SpyBot antivirus running,
spyware.
They may be anti-spyware running. They may be conflicting with each other.
Okay. Because I experience this too when the mail, if my daughter or my wife bring up the mail and we use, you know, I have trouble with them. They use the standard stuff because neither one of them can use Thunderbird or anything else. They have trouble with that. But when the mail is up, if you open too many windows, and I don't mean too many, I mean, I'm only saying a couple, then all of a sudden it locks right up. I get the blue screen of death and everything shuts down.
Well, that may well be a separate problem. How much memory do you have in your machine?
258 right now.
Well,
that's horribly low. You need at least 1,000.
Oh, okay.
That's
you need a gigabyte of memory. Right. There's your problem.
Yeah.
Okay.
The problem is that what version of Windows are you running?
Vista.
You must be the most patient human being on earth.
Yeah, really.
To run Vista in 256 meg?
No. I want to go to Vista, the trade machine. That's what I was thinking. No, I'm running the XP Home Edition.
All right, so that's only slow, not god-awful slow.
Right.
So what you need is a lot more memory. And when you get that memory put in, have them test the memory. It may be that the memory that's already there has a problem, but it's likely just the fact that you don't have enough. If you're going to go to Vista, you need a minimum of a gig of RAM, a minimum.
Right. Well, I need a whole new system, but
two would be better.
It shuts down my router and everything. I mean, I can't get online. I can't do anything when this happens.
Well, sure. The system is locked up.
Okay,
so
right.
I would suggest, if you're going to buy a new machine, why not do it now?
Okay.
Or if you're not going to buy a new machine right now, then
that's
definitely
the memory, then.
Get more memory.
Okay. All right. Okay.
All right.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you very much. This is a problem that many, many people have had because,
PCs are cheap. They sell them cheap, and one of the ways they make them cheap is not enough RAM, too small a hard drive, things like that.
They cut corners.
Yeah. Because Microsoft has said, you can run Windows in a XP and 128 meg of RAM.
And
so we'll double it for you. Hey!
You can run Windows, just you can't run anything else.
Right, right. This past week. Was wondering why their machine was running so slow. And I looked at it. Believe it or not, I was ready to hook it up to my truck and drag it up and down the driveway. That would make it go fast.
It's 128 megs with shared video, right?
Yes! Yeah. 128 meg, and it's like, oh.
Yeah. I had a friend, very quickly because we're out of time, but I had a friend who asked me advice on buying a machine, and I told her you need a gig of RAM for XP, and she said, no, you don't. They said it's 128 meg. Okay. Yeah. So she buys the machine, then she's all angry because it's so running so slow. I said, you need more RAM. She kept saying, no, I don't. I finally said, just buy the RAM. If it doesn't make it faster, I'll buy it from you. I'll pay you for it. And she did, and of course, she was much happier. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Scott Morrison, Nick Francesco, and all of you. It is 39 minutes after the hour. When we come back, we've got more news, a lot more of your calls. If you're on the line, please stay on the line. If you're not on the line, I have no idea why you're not, because we're all here having fun together. And you are listening to the greatest computer show in the known universe, and that's Sound Bites on the greatest radio station, WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Scott Morrison.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. Well, here's an interesting thing. Nearly 3 weeks after security vendor Symantec Corporation released a free tool to clean up PCs crippled by the Windows XP Service Pack 3 update, Microsoft Corporation issued a fix that should reestablish lost internet and wireless connections. I'm not sure how you get this service pack if you've lost your internet connection, but okay, that's neither here nor there. Earlier last week, Microsoft posted a hot fix for a problem first reported in mid-May. Users of Symantec's consumer security software said that after updating their PCs to XP3, a bug emptied Windows device driver and deleted network connections. Although Symantec initially blamed Microsoft, it later accepted some responsibility. In late May, Microsoft acknowledged that check this out. Listen carefully. Symantec acknowledged that Microsoft's updating process and a security feature in its own Norton-branded software combined to swamp the Windows registry with hundreds, sometimes thousands, of bogus and corrupted keys. That security...
Thousands?
Thousands. That security feature, dubbed SimProtect by Symantec, was designed to protect the company's security software from attack by guarding against unauthorized changes to the registry, and it assumed the changes being made by Microsoft were unauthorized.
To protect you from changes in the registry, we're going to put thousands of items in your registry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're going to put our own bogus entries in.
Yeah, right. So if you've got a problem with Windows Service Pack 3 and you use Symantec, now you know where the problem is. We stopped recommending Symantec, 8 years ago? Just not a big fan of the Symantec Norton products anymore. Used to be, not anymore, just I'm not.
They've apparently heard so many people are not recommending Symantec anymore, and one of their advertising slogans on the new version is how much less resources it takes. It's light and easy and fast, and we've heard you, it was crap, and we're trying to make it better.
Yes, by throwing thousands of keys in your register.
All right. It does it light and easy and fast.
It does it so fast they can't even remember where to put them all and corrupt some. Our next caller is Ron from Fairport. Welcome, Ron. What's your question?
I have a Windows XP that won't let me into my computer anymore for some reason.
When you try, what happens?
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't have my home page anymore, and it takes me to the welcoming page with an icon with my name on it. And when I click it, it says loading your personal settings, and it immediately logs off.
Now, is this for booting into XP, or you're already into it and you're trying to use a web browser?
Well, I'm trying to log on.
He's trying to use the login screen.
Okay, used to have a login screen, or did it log in directly when you turned it on?
You used to log in directly to Google.
See, that's why I'm confused.
Well, that's a web page.
All right, hold on. Now I'm as confused as you are. When you first turn on your machine, what happens?
It loads up, and it says, actually, I'm sitting in front of it now. It goes to what the old welcome page was, and it says my icon with my name on it, and then I click on it.
That's the blue background.
Right, that's the normal login window. Did it used to do that?
No.
Okay, so you never had, you had it set to automatically log
in. So something has changed and turned off his auto login.
If you're lucky, it's a hacker that changed your password, but it more sounds like there's something damaged in your profile.
I even tried in safe mode, and it did the same thing.
Can you log into the administrator account in safe mode?
No.
Can't log into anything.
The same thing.
So both the administrator account and your account don't work.
Right.
I think your best bet at this point is to take it to somebody like Dave or Steve.
Okay.
Have them look at it. They may need to diagnose the hard drive by taking it out of the machine, sticking it somewhere else, and doing some testing on it. But clearly what's going wrong with your machine at this point is far beyond the capabilities of the average user. Unless you've got a lot of diagnostic tools.
Unless you don't mind, erase the computer and reinstall Windows.
But you would then lose
all your stuff.
So your best bet at this point is to take it to somebody.
The only thing that I did prior to this happening was I ran SpyBot and it found a couple of things. One was kills something in the registry.
Yeah, and it may be that those were corrupting your registry, and when you removed them, the results of that corruption appeared, essentially.
Oh, I see.
You know, and that's why taking it to somebody like Dave or Steve would give you a better, would give them the opportunity to actually sit down.
We pull the hard drive out, literally can look at the files and that, and there's about five files that control your boot up. And now if you still got the backups, we can take it back to a different point in time.
I actually did that. I went in, I was able to, in safe mode, to go into the selection and go back to the last good starting point. Or restart point.
Well, if you can get into Windows in the safe mode, what you want to do is a system restore, and you want to go back to a different point in time. In other words, it brings up a calendar, and you could say the day before this happened. So say it started happening on Friday. You could set your restore point back to Thursday.
What it did is it offered an option that go back to the last known good restore point.
Yeah, he was
now,
in,
that
he was
might
in
not
safe
be a
mode.
Good one.
He was actually in the boot up menu. You really, Ron, honestly, you need to take it into somebody.
Oh, no problem.
I'm sorry, but that's what it has to be.
The other question is, are they serious about stopping XP on June 30th?
Maybe.
June 30th, here's what the thing is June 30th, what they're talking about is Dell, Compaq, HP, Gateway, and all those companies there can no longer get Windows XP.
There's actually two halves of this. There's the retail Windows you buy in the store, and then there's the versions of Windows that computer makers buy to put on brand new computers.
Right.
And basically, yes, both of those are supposed to end.
And I can still get it right on through to January of next year.
So computer makers can still get Windows if they choose to. But
they're talking about extending that as well.
And especially for the low-end computers where Vista just won't run on, we were saying earlier, 128 megs of RAM.
And see, the other reason they're saying that is because right now all those major companies like Dell, Gateway, and all them have a warehouse full of Vista, and they want to get rid of it. They don't want to be stuck with it.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Scott Morrison, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 51 minutes after the hour, sound bites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Scott Morrison.
And at 55 minutes after the hour, we are soundbites. Listen, I have to say this because it's not really the rant. We're actually going to push Dave's rant off Uncle Dave's story hour. Excuse me. Now, there's no rant involved, of course. We're going to push Uncle Dave's story hour off till after the top of the hour because I screwed up on the timing here. And that's, stuff happens.
But we got so much stuff. We're changing things up.
I've gotten a couple of messages over the past week, and somebody just mentioned it in the forums earlier today. How come we don't go into the forums or don't spend our time on Second Life during the show? I don't know how many of you have ever done a radio show. But there's a lot to do here, even though I'm just sort of sitting here having fun, and it sounds like we're just goofing off for a couple of hours. There's actually people who call in, and so we have to listen to them. We have to formulate or find an answer, and then we have to give that answer in a way that they will understand, right? There are time marks that I have to hit. One of them is coming up very shortly, I know. And there are other things that we have to do in terms of the mechanics of radio. Also, then, trying to follow threads in our IRC chat, which, trust me, are tangled at best and chaotic.
Gordian?
Might be a little Gordian. They may have tangled themselves into a Gordian knot by now. And then also, Dave is sitting in Second Life, but he's really not paying a lot of attention because we've got other things to do.
Yeah,
so I apologize. Now, I'm sure all of you could manage to do this because all of you are young and brilliant. I am old, and multitasking is something I can do, but not to the extent I used to do it 30 years ago. So, no, I'm not following the conversations in our IRC. No, I'm not in Second Life.
To be
fair, I'm actually doing a radio show.
You look over now and then, and you know what's going on.
I know what's going on. I don't have time to get in. Right, exactly. Thank you. That's the difference. So if that disappoints you, here's an idea. Get over it.
Like the Great Eagle song says, get over it.
Get over it. Or as one of my favorite lines from The Princess Bride, get used to disappointment. We're going to take a break. We will be back and you should see Scott in there. He's looking at us like, what? We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave and Steve and Chris and Scott and Nick and all of you. It is 57 minutes after the hour. We are Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Scott Morrison.
At 7 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Now, I want to apologize to each and every one of you. I shortchanged you in the last hour. I did not do Uncle Dave's story hour. So, here it comes. All right, kiddies. Grab your footy jammies, your mug of hot cocoa, and sit Indian style in a semicircle around the rocking chair. Because if we can slap them awake, it's time for story hour with Uncle Dave. Uncle Dave? Uncle Dave!
Yeah, I hear. I'm fine.
All right, go for it.
Okay, Lucy Lou!
Here we go.
What part didn't you get when you brought it in to have your machine cleaned out that I put other things on it like the security tango, which works a heck of a lot better than that stupid no-name Norton? It's bloatware! I took it off for a reason. And if you think your son knows better than me, since I do this for a living, and oh, he just likes to play around, that your machine is running slow again, that's my fault? No!
Clearly it must be.
No, I took it off, cleaned it up, and she even called me back later and had one other question. It was running fantastic. About 4 days later, I get, oh, the machine's running slow again. Well, what was done? Well, my son put Norton back on. Well, then that's the reason. Hello? We had it clean. You even said it was running great. Take it off. Well, he tried to, but it's all messed up. Is this covered? No.
No.
Jeez. You know, you get the machine running great and people are happy with it. And then this...
Well, what you really need is a disclaimer at the bottom of this of your
It doesn't help.
Yeah, I know.
They don't read it.
Essentially, just says not responsible for acts of God or 15-year-olds.
Yeah,
no lie. And you know, I mean, And I said, well, gotta have a firewall on it. It had one. I put Zone Alarm on, AVG. I put Super Anti-Spy Bot on there, Adaware and Spy Bot.
Yeah.
You don't need anything else. And it doesn't add the bloatware that Norton did.
We give
and apparently
nice,
doesn't put thousands of extra and corrupted entries into your registry.
Well, the other problem was, well, I was having problems, so I figured that was because I couldn't get my, he was trying to run Kazaa again.
Well,
that's
duh.
That's another reason it won't work.
You know, and that's why it won't
and
work.
And BearShare trying to
steal music.
Yeah, steal his music. And it's like, you know, hey.
The reality is LimeWire and Kazaa, and I know there are people in the forum right now. I haven't even bothered to go over. I know they're going, no, they're clean. They're good. I use them all day long. I don't really care what you say.
But
the
it's
reality
stealing.
Is, well, yes, it's stealing. And the reality is that half the stuff, and this is research that was done. I don't make this stuff up. I got numbers I can pull out of my whatever anytime I want, but these are real. somewhere over half of the popular songs that are out there, you know, the latest rap or the latest pop song or whatever, half the ones that are up there are, in fact, not the song, but are viruses. And if you download them and try to run them, you get infected. You can rant against that all you want. It's simple fact.
A lot of them also are the real copyright owners putting fake links on there to catch you downloading things illegally.
Right. And that's a large percentage as well, but not half. And I'm not saying, now I'm sure somebody's saying, well, how could it be half of millions of songs? It's half of the newest popular song.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
50% of the downloads are somebody just grabbing that name
and
throwing the virus behind it.
And there are legal uses for these services. It's just the vast majority of people are using it for an illegal use.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, like I say, I had it running great.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they get porked off at me.
It's still broken. No, it's broken again.
Yes.
Right.
You can
buy $200-$300 computers nowadays.
Yep.
Honestly, if you feel the desperate need to steal music, run Kazaa and BearShare and LimeWire on one of those, and then you just nuke it every couple of weeks.
Yeah. And start fresh.
Exactly.
And accept the fact.
All right, kiddies, that's it. We're going to put Uncle Dave back on the shelf for another week. Hold him down while I give him his shot.
I'm going back to my rocking chair.
Yeah, I bet you are. And so rinse out your cocoa mug, take off your footy jammies, get back into your clothes, and we will put Uncle Dave back on the shelf for another week. So back to the real world. Our next caller is Bob from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Two quick questions. One's wireless and one's about a security suite.
Okay.
I just went yesterday from wired to wireless. And does that mean now that the only way, since I went wireless, that someone can get into my access to my system is if they're within my range of my radio signal now?
Yes.
Okay.
Which is, depending on, you know, wireless G is 150 feet,
well,
wireless
yes and
N
no.
is 300 feet.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's also a no, because if they're coming in at you from the internet and you're connected to the internet, then they can get to you. So it's not the only way. It's just one
other way.
So you still need to protect yourself. You still need an antivirus because those come from the internet. And what do you do with your wireless? You connect to the internet with it.
Okay.
So you still need all that stuff.
Yep.
Okay. And the other question is, which one do you recommend as far as a paid version? Set it and forget it. Security suite.
None.
Yeah.
No. You can never set it and forget it.
You can't. But yeah. We still like AVG, which you can certainly pay for.
Yep.
And once you set it, it's almost forget it. Almost.
And they've got a firewall option, too.
Right. When you pay for it, you can get all of that stuff.
Okay. But if you've got wireless, you've got a router.
Yeah, DSL.
Then... Well, do you have a network router yourself? Network router that has a little antennas
router.
On it?
Yeah, it's from Frontier.
Then that's
No.
The answer is he does not.
Oh. Right.
So
even though
your
DSL or cable subscriber may give you a wireless router, you should have your own router that you control, and that gives you a good private connection to the internet. Most of the DSL and cable routers still give you a public internet connection, which makes it easier for people to break into you.
Right. The safer option for wireless is to wire a router into the cable modem and then do wireless from your own router.
Okay.
Because then you get your own firewall.
And you can set it up to be encrypted much easier.
Would you recommend Linksys router? Or what?
I love Linksys.
Linksys, that's what I use.
since they're owned by Cisco, that kind of raises their stature a little bit.
Yeah. It was already pretty high.
Right. All of the real professional routers are Cisco.
And yes, they are.
They have commas, darn it.
Yes, they do. But yeah, I would suggest that.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Our next caller is Dar, all the way from Toronto and our neighbor to the north.
Canada.
How you doing, gentlemen?
We're good, Dar. How are you?
I got bad news for you guys.
Uh-oh.
Boycott AVG is the name of the word now.
What happened?
Go to the Register Co. UK, and there's a column by Cade Metz from San Francisco. AVG disguises fake traffic as IE6. What it turns out is that Link Scanner is creating what amounts to denial of service attack on websites.
Interesting. A lot of browsers, you can fake the info. So if I'm running Firefox, right, I can tell the website it's IE. But
this is more insidious. You've got to go to the article.
Yeah, we're looking at it now.
Wait, and the comments are brilliant. They're actually saying class action suit against AVG for doing this. Bandwidth costs are doubling and tripling.
Right.
Because you do a search while...
Oh, I see what it does. Yeah, it includes a malware scanner, which I can't say.
Malware?
Malicious software scanner. And Firefox 2 had a problem with this, too. When you go to a website, it scans all of the links that are on that website for any malicious software. Right. Yeah. Before you actually click on any of them. And the good thing about that, it means if you go to one of those links, you can get there a little faster. But the bad thing about that is it's downloading all this extra stuff, and in places where you have a download cap, you can really eat up your bandwidth and hit your download cap very quickly.
Exactly, but we're thinking of we the users, but the guys at the webmasters are going bald, tearing their hair out because of this. Again, banned width prices are gone sky high because of it.
And a lot of ISPs here in the U.S., it's not that common, but so ISPs are testing a bandwidth cap to limit the amount you can download in a month.
That's right.
Time Warner's doing that in Texas.
Yeah, in Texas, yeah, that's very common in the rest of the world. You know, we're not used to it here, but it's being tested in many places.
Well, we're going back to the old days where that was the norm.
Right, yeah. Right.
But please go over to the Register Co. UK, and I'll tell you again, all the posters, it's turned into bloated malware. That's what they're calling AVG now. They've just gone too far with the version 8.
So they're trying to do something good, but it's causing problems again.
Yeah, thank you. We'll put a link up to that, but we'll also keep a close watch on it to see whether or not they stop doing that, because it is a problem for almost everybody.
It does seem to be only in the pay version of AVG.
Bit by the law of unintended consequences.
Right. Yep. We're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Scott Morrison, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 17 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Scott Morrison.
And at 22 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. All right, let's go right back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark in Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Hi, good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Well, I actually should say good afternoon.
It is that. But if you got up late, it could be morning.
Yeah,
for
but
you.
He's
we
on
don't
the phone. Wait.
I got up just before the show started, so I've been up for a while.
There you go. Question. Me too today. I was very late getting here.
Question. I'm getting a problem on two computers in my house. One is a no-name built one. The other is an HP, both running XP Service Pack 2. One's Media Center, the HP's Media Center. And both of them, I get errors with Windows Explorer opening my computer or JPEGs. And it freezes, and it says I get an error, and then everything goes away on my desktop, and then it comes back up again. And sometimes it locks up, and I have to restart. You have any clue what could be causing that?
Well, I know what's happening is that the Windows Explorer, the desktop, has had to restart. That's why they go away and come back.
Right.
What's the error message you're getting?
It's a bunch of numbers about a mile long.
Well, without,
I get it on both of them. They are networked, but they don't share.
Well, that doesn't mean anything anymore.
Yeah.
What antivirus are you using?
On the HP, I'm using Bitdefender.
Uh-huh.
And on the built one, I'm using Avast.
Also good. I might suggest... I would certainly suggest dancing the security tango on both.
I dance it pretty much weekly on both of them, yeah.
Good.
It's probably something corrupt somewhere, which is tricky.
Well, and the problem is, how did two machines get similarly corrupted?
Yeah.
Have you tried running the system file checker?
No, I have not.
That may work. What is it? Start, run, and SFC /scan now. One word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And that will check your system files to see if there's anything corrupted and that it knows about and try to replace those from your
You can also do, if you go to a command prompt, if you open up a command window.
Right.
And just do a check disk space C colon /R.
Okay.
And that will go in and look at all the files and do any repairs.
Okay.
So again, open up a DOS window, go to start, run, type CMD, hit enter. It'll open up the DOS window, type check disk space C colon space /R and hit enter. It'll take a little while because it goes through a series of 5 tests, but if anything is messed up on the hard drive, that usually does a good job of correcting it.
Okay, great.
Okay.
One more thing I wanted to tell you. I'm using Firefox 3, and when I went to the link to listen to the show online, it just asked me what I wanted to run it with, and I told it Windows Media Player, and it plays fine.
Oh, good. Then they got it fixed. I haven't checked it in a while. Like I say,
excellent.
Busy doing other things.
Excellent. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thanks, Mark.
Bye-bye.
Very nice to know. Very nice to know. Well, we got our guys are good. They're good.
Yeah.
Our next caller is Vito from Chi-Line, New York. Vito, como esta?
Oh, I'm very good. Thanks for taking my call. What I'm asking is, when considering a CPU, say one with a front side bus of 1333 megahertz, what's the reason for picking a SD-RAM with 800 megahertz versus one with, say, 667 megahertz or 800 or 667?
You have to get the RAM that the motherboard needs.
Yeah.
Getting faster doesn't help. Getting slower won't work.
Yeah, you got to match it up with the motherboard. So, I mean, and again, you know, the
obviously faster is better.
But if your motherboard only wants 667, if you put 800 RAM into it, it slows down to 667.
Right, I'm talking about the speed of the front side bus. Faster is better, right. But you have to then match the RAM to the front side bus, no higher, no lower.
Match it to the front side bus, no higher. Well, then 800 and 667 would be okay then, based on that.
Yes, but you're going to pay more for faster RAM, and you're not gaining any advantage by buying faster RAM.
And it slows it up. How do you find out what it wants?
Should say in the documentation.
Yeah, in the RTFM.
In the manual that came with that motherboard.
Motherboards actually come with manuals still.
Sometimes.
Often not paper, but there's a CD.
Yep. At least pamphlets and sometimes translated.
Yeah, most
in,
of me.
How did you put it, Steve?
Yeah, some of them just have the fourfold, the two-fold piece of paper.
Well, most of the MSI boards in that I get still have very good booklets, only because those are usually what you're using to set it up. So the information is handy. It doesn't do you any good to have a CD if you're trying to set up a motherboard. So that's kind of essential, and they haven't, for the most part, got done away with those. So definitely check the documentation.
Read the friendly manual.
Okay,
RTFM.
Get the manual first.
If you've already got RAM in the computer, oftentimes it'll be marked what speed it is, and then you can get that same kind of RAM. If it's a name brand computer, you can go to that website and find out what speed RAM it uses as well.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. That's the key, though. It's just your homework and seeing what, first, the motherboard wants.
Right.
And that's a critical thing I should point out to folks, because they're always asking me, you know, your recommendations on putting together a system. Well, you know, again, price is always a factor, what you can afford. But the key component you got to start with is the motherboard. If you get a certain chip now and you're looking to maybe down the road better the chip because the prices keep falling, always get a motherboard that can take your current chip and maybe something, you know, a little more enhanced.
Oh, and by the way,
yes,
I'm really angry with you.
So what else is new?
The last machine you built me, my Linux box, which is now my main machine.
Yeah.
Is so freaking great, I have no excuse to buy another one. And I am really, really angry about that.
And then the problem is, in a couple, 3 years, when you are ready,
you
the technologies
son of a
have
gun.
Changed
Thank
so
you.
Much.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, wait a minute. Now, wait. You know I can take care of you, right?
I know. You're good to me, Dave.
Yay. What you do, since this machine runs so great,
yeah,
you do a favor to your wife or daughter.
Pass
this fantastic machine onto them.
My daughter wants this machine because it'll do Second Life.
And then I can...
It's not as bad an idea as it sounds at first blush.
What is that? The Fion or the new chip out? It's a
quad core? Yeah.
Nice.
And Linux will handle it. Not a problem.
Nice looking chips.
We'll talk.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've been angry for days. I almost forgot to mention it to
him. You were angry, yeah.
I forgot I was angry.
Yeah, the big problem, though, is that...
That's the kind of angry I like.
Does that mean I won't be the subject of next week's rant?
This is true. But no, I'll be honest with you, I had another client. I built the machine for him back in 1996.
Wow.
He's still running Windows 98 Second Edition. It's getting a little old. He can't do the updates. Yeah. So I told him, it's about time to retire it. He goes, and this is not to toot my own horn, but he says, well, I guess I know where I'm coming back to. He says, this one's lasted, he thought it was only 10 years. I says, no, it's been 12. He goes, well, see how it's been that great. I haven't had to bring it into you. I says, well, I appreciate that. I try to do, like I say, I won't compromise on my parts. Folks have always asked me, well, can't you do it cheaper? Yeah, I could, but I won't sell it.
Right.
I stand behind one.
And I'll tell you why that is. Dave is basically a lazy guy.
Yes, I am.
He doesn't want to have that machine coming back in to be worked on over and over and over.
And you can.
He just wants to send it out the door and never see it again.
And you folks can do better things with your time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, that's...
So I just needed you to know I was angry.
Thank you.
I feel better now.
Yes.
All right. Our next caller is Lance from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Lance.
Well, good afternoon. Lance here. I called you last week about AVG locking me out, my other computer, out of the net. But I have fiddled around, and I think I can get on the net at least some of the time. But there's another problem that occurred at the same time. I lost my in-house wired network.
How'd you do that?
I don't know. That's what I'd like to find out.
Now, can other machines use the in-house wired network?
Nope.
Then it's probably not AVG.
No, it's probably the router.
It's probably the router.
Lightning has
now. Can you
been wreaking havoc this week?
Can any of the machines get out to the internet?
All three of my machines can get on the internet.
Now, here's a test. What you might want to do is, what do you have? Roadrunner DSL?
Yep. No, Roadrunner cable.
Right.
You have Roadrunner.
So, all right, what you want to do is hook, the cable modem that you've got hooked up to your router.
Yeah.
Hook it directly up to one machine. Plug it right into one machine. See if you can, and restart cable modem and your machine. See if you can at least get out to the internet. This will tell you whether you've got a bad cable modem or a bad router.
Yeah, it might.
Now, you may have to restart your cable router, too, because...
That's what I'm suggesting.
To get a second computer.
Both.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
But give that a shot.
Well, that will mean only one machine, of course, is on the internet, but you'll know whether or not you can get there. Now, you're saying that you lost your other computer off the net.
And you've restarted
and you've lost your in-house wired network. Does that mean your internal machines can all get to the internet, you said? So
yes,
are you saying they can't talk to each other?
That's what they can't do.
Ah.
Yeah, he can't get out even to his intranet.
No, now, but you can get out to the internet.
Yep.
But you can't talk to each other.
That's right.
Okay.
Files.
That's different.
And when I click on Windows Explorer network connection, and it does not recognize anything but itself.
Now, have you shut everything down, reset both the router and the hub?
I'm not sure I know how to do that.
Here's what you do. You turn off all the computers, and there's a plug on that gives the power to the cable modem, and there's a plug that goes to the router. Unplug both of those for about 15 seconds. Plug them back in.
Now, wait, first, Lance, do you have two separate devices or just one that you connect your computers to?
I have a little sort of a router right in my room, and that plugs into another router in another room that takes all three of them.
Okay, yeah, you want to unplug both of those.
Yeah.
let them sit for 15 seconds, plug them both in.
Well, and unplug them and unplug the cable modem.
Yeah.
Let everything sit, and then restart them in this order. Your cable modem first, all your routers second, your computers third.
And see if that brings everything back up.
In fact, one of the things I like to recommend people is we're coming up on a holiday weekend. Turn everything off. Turn all your computers off, all your printers off, your cable router, your DSL router, your WAN router, your wireless router.
And go out and have fun.
Right. Turn everything off and let them rest. It doesn't make any sense, but it often fixes weird problems.
Yeah, it's true. Well, it releases the timestamp for your connection.
Your DHCP, time lease.
Everything. It just does everything. Yeah. So if you wait, Dave says 15 seconds, I say a couple of minutes.
Yeah. Well, I can try. Turn everything off, at least.
Yep, let us know what happens.
Give it a shot.
Okay.
Okay, Lance. Take it easy.
See if I can call you next week.
Excellent. Yeah. Thanks, Lance. Our next caller, Lou, from Fairport, New York. Welcome, Lou. What's your question?
Okay, I recently downloaded AVG 8.0, and then I switched from dial-up to a broadband. And when I go to update, it says on there that it had not protected because some components are in error. It says the anti-spyware data is outdated, and the antivirus database is outdated. So I go to update them. And nothing happens.
What version of AVG are you using?
I just downloaded 8.0.
Okay.
And it says that those two things, the database is outdated.
Right, and that happens pretty regularly. They're supposed to update.
Right. He's just switched from dial-up to high-speed, so you probably have to go into your internet connections and disable the dial-up connection.
So it only works.
Yeah.
And nothing happened. And I go to update it. And it still doesn't show any progress of those two being updated.
Does it give you an error message?
Nothing.
How long have you waited?
Since I started holding for you guys about quarter after, and I've waited, and still nothing's happened. So it's at least 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But you can get the web pages okay.
Yeah, I went to the AVG site itself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got four downloads there, and I downloaded those, and I went to open them up, and it says they're all binary files, and it says Windows won't open them.
Yeah, because you didn't download the right thing. You got to download just the free version.
Well, no, he's downloading updates manually.
Yeah,
once you download the update, you don't open the update. You import it into AVG. When you click, I'm trying to... Remember,
it's easier just to uninstall it all and just
try
download, do a fresh download, reboot the machine, do a fresh install.
I did do that too, and it still shows that these two are out of date.
Yeah. When you click update, does it give you an option about where you're going to update it from, either a file or the internet?
No. It says update now, right? Updating progress. And do you know how you get the line that shows what
the progress bar?
Nothing happens.
It stays at zero?
It stays, it's just nothing.
Well, nothing is different than zero, so it stays at the zero point on that progress bar?
Yeah. Well, there is no progress bar.
Doesn't even get that far.
What it sounds like is your AVG is somehow corrupted. Let me suggest two things.
Okay.
First, Dance the Security Tango. I'm wondering if you've got one of those rare viruses that only Stinger finds.
And prevents antiviruses from working.
Exactly.
Okay.
So start with the Security Tango. Then, instead of reinstalling AVG, let me suggest Avast. A-V-A-S-T.
A-V-A-S-T.
As in me hearty. Download that from Avast.com and run that instead.
Okay.
And let me know.
Okay. There's no conflict between me going from... dial up to Roadrunner, is it?
Well,
no.
I'm wondering if there's something that happened, but I doubt it. It's unlikely. But let me suggest that you do that. Dance the Tango and then run Avast instead of AVG, which means uninstalling AVG, by the way.
Okay.
And then at the end of the Tango, install Avast, and then
uninstall before I do the Tango and uninstall
Well, it's not
AVG.
Working anyway, so it doesn't matter. So, yes.
Okay. Okay. Now, about adding RAM to a computer with a, like I have a Compaq. If I go to their Compaq website, will they tell me how much more RAM I can add?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, you can also check the manual for your motherboard or your system, and it should tell you how much it will handle and what speed.
Right. All right, we have to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Wright, Scott Morris, and me, Nick Francesco, and you. 39 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Scott Morrison.
And at 43 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. Our next caller is Dan from Byron, New York. Welcome, Dan. What's your question?
Hi, guys. Recently just purchased a laptop computer. Mm-hmm. It's a Dell with Vista on it.
Nice sympathy to you.
Yeah, well, it seems to be working pretty well for us.
Good. That's good to hear, though, you know, a few folks, because I know it is getting frustrating for a lot of other folks.
Vista with a fast enough machine, enough RAM, and a clean build.
And no old software and old hardware.
Saying, yeah. Clean build, not so bad. Go ahead. What's your question?
Just hooked up a wireless router for the first time, and I'm hardwired into the wireless router to the desktop machine, and obviously wireless from the laptop.
Right.
Now, I understand it's a Netgear dual-band 800N router, that the router itself performs somewhat of a firewall function.
Yes.
When I was connecting to the internet, I've always been running the Security Tango and AVG and Zone Alarm and so forth.
Right.
I ran into some conflicts with Zone Alarm.
Right.
As soon as I turned Zone Alarm off, everything seemed to be working better. So I'm pretty sure the conflict is through Zone Alarm and the Netgear. Wondering if I really even need anything more than maybe the Windows firewall with that Netgear router.
Well, the router firewall sort of protects you from inbound attacks because you're on a private network. You still want something on your computer for outbound attacks if something gets in another way. But the Windows firewall versus Zone Alarm, it's Zone Alarm gives you more control, which some people like and some people are confused by.
Well, lately they've changed it. They give you the alerts and they don't see what program's asking for the alert.
But yeah, and that's one of the problems there is people often don't know the name of the program, the actual name of the .exe file they're running, and that confuses things.
Right. So is there another firewall program, or is the Windows firewall program sufficient, do you think, that we'd be okay with just that? Because I didn't notice any conflicts with that when I turned that on.
Zone Alarm should work. But
so that's
what
he's getting his conflicts on. What type of conflict are you getting?
A lot of sites I couldn't get into. It would hang.
As long as you have your web browser allowed in Zone Alarm, it shouldn't affect any site you're going to.
Yeah. Dan, another firewall that you can try is COMONDO. Commando.
Okay.
That's got real, real good reviews from PC World Magazine, and that's where you can download it and try that. I've tried it on a few folks that Zone Alarm was giving them issues, and that can be caused by a number of things, depending on what other software and that, you know, the configurations, it can cause glitches.
Okay.
Give that a shot.
All right, we'll do that. Thanks very much, guys.
You're welcome.
All right, thanks. I got myself multitasking, and I'm confused. Our next caller is Ray from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Ray. What's your question?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
He called us gentlemen, so how good is his judgment
right
to begin with?
I have a Windows XP I'm running, and when I hook up to the internet using my laptop, I can't hook up under the battery power. The only way I can connect to the internet is on my AC power. Now, this all happened when I hooked up my wireless printer. I'm lost.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
So when you hooked up the wireless printer, you could no longer connect to the internet.
Using my battery power of the laptop, that is correct. The only way I could connect to the once again, is running AC power.
When you are on battery power, can you print? Does that work?
Yes, it does. I can do everything but actually get on the internet.
What does your battery level meter indicate?
I'm sorry?
Your battery level meter indication on your screen.
Full power.
Because wireless does take a lot of battery life, and one of the things that computers do is they can be set to shut down things when you're on battery. Like they'll dim the screen faster when you're on battery. Maybe you've got a setting in there somewhere that's turning off Wi-Fi.
Yeah, you might want to check the power settings for your particular machine.
Okay.
And under the power settings now, some of them you can just go into the control panel and do it underneath there. Depending on the laptop, some of them have their own utility for setting up the power savings and everything else. And like Steve was saying, it might be in there that you might want to try playing around with those. Just set them to a little more time given.
Okay, I'll do that. I'll give that a shot. It was just kind of, I couldn't understand it. It worked fine up until I set up the wireless printer.
Yeah,
it does sound like a tricky one.
Yeah.
Well, it could be that the driver that runs the wireless printer set that.
Ah. I think I understand.
That's good, because we don't know.
I think I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah. In other words, when he put in the wireless printer, it essentially said, don't make a network connection. It changed the setting in the registry.
Yeah. So your wireless connection is only to the printer and not to the internet.
Right. Because it's going to drain enough battery as it is.
And that's one thing, too. Yeah, your wireless printer could be making its own network and not attaching to the network you already had.
Right.
So that could be doing it, too.
Right, it might have changed the network. All right, we got to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes, Dave Enright, Steve Reich, Chris Reich, Scott Morrison, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 50 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, 1180 WHAM. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Reich.
I'm Chris Reich.
And I'm Scott Morrison.
And at 54 minutes after the hour, we are Sound Bites. All right. What?
Don't go to the hot tub.
When I was creating my avatar, apparently the underwear I have on didn't fit when I created my hips.
It almost looks like a thong.
I don't think we want to know.
Bikini underwear.
He's in a thong. I love the idea
of
that.
Sorry I asked.
All righty then. We need to create the Soundbites thong.
The Soundbites thong in Second Life.
In Second Life. You're absolutely right. I'll work on that.
And my eyes are scorched now.
And a Soundbites t-shirt.
Yeah. I have a Soundbites t-shirt. Oh, I'm wearing one.
I didn't find that.
I should get one.
I'll give it to you. Coming to Second Life. Our next caller is... Anybody who's listening can have a Soundbites t-shirt if they come to me in Second Life and ask, not while I'm talking on the air. Our next caller is David from Parenton, New York. Welcome, David. What's your question?
Well, thank you, guys. Always very informative and increasingly entertaining show, you guys.
Thank you. We aim to increase the entertainment factor.
I run an aging but still reliable Gateway laptop XP operating system. My CD-ROM drive went kaput, and I went to the Microsoft support website and found a fix, which required going to the registry and basically deleting the upper and lower filters value, and that fixed it. The CD-ROM started to work again just fine. The only problem is now that it apparently had some impact on my touchpad because I can't use my touchpad anymore, you know, the cursor, and I also try to connect an external mouse, and that also is dead. So I'm just wondering if you had any insight into a secondary fix on that.
Do you have the original system restore disks?
Yeah. I do.
No, you won't have to do that.
What I might suggest, just trying it, is put back those registry keys and see if your mouse comes back.
Yes.
It could be a coincidental problem. That's the thing I would check first.
Yes.
The easy way to try it first is just go to a restore point.
Mm-hmm.
And go back to the day before you did that.
Yes. I tell you, one thing I did do, I didn't tell you, I did reinstall the application and driver disk again. And the screen is there, and it installed everything, but it did say that the what didn't install from the disk was the Synaptics touchpad driver. So apparently it wouldn't somehow take it, I guess. I do use Ghost, however. I do have a backup of the entire system on Ghost. I guess that would be helpful, possibly.
Yeah, put it back and then...
And see what goes from there.
Yeah.
But restore the registry keys might be the best thing.
Yes.
Okay. Then test it out there.
Yep. Because then, you know, if it restores it, which doesn't, it fixes the problem, you win. If
right.
it doesn't, you know, mm-hmm. then you know it's something else that you got to work on.
Are the touchpad functions and the mouse external mouse functions the same system? I mean, was that unusual?
Well, sure it would be because the touchpad is a mouse.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah.
It's all correlated.
Slightly different drivers, but the same system property, probably.
Internally, they're usually on the same or a similar USB bus.
Mm-hmm. I see. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'll give it a shot.
All right. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. That's it for another week. I really want to apologize to all of those of you to whom we did not get. Clearly, you must call in earlier and more often. I want to thank each and every one of you who called in. I want to thank all of you who were in the forums and all of those who were in the IRC client, which was a lot of people this week, 24 or 5 the last time I looked, 24. And certainly everybody who stood around and watched us away from the keyboard on Second Life. We're going to go in there now and do a couple of things, so if you're there, we'll be there. I want to thank Chris Reich, who once again ably brought in all his equipment and all his prodigious amount of knowledge and talent and skill to record the thing. I want to thank Scott Morrison for not just walking out in sheer disgust. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Chris Reich, Scott Morrison. I'm Nick Francesco. 58 minutes after the hour, sound bites. Thanks for listening.